Soham samam naya mayastapo maya. Soham samam naya mayastapo maya. Prajapati nam abhivandita patahi.
Prajapati nam abhivandita patahi.
Astaya yogam nipunam samahitas.
Astaya yogam nipunam samahitas.
Tamna jagatscham yata atma sambhava.
Tamna jagatscham yata atma.
Saha aham.
Saha aham.
Myself.
Myself.
The great Brahma.
The great Brahma.
Samam naya mayaha. In the chain of disciplic succession,
of
Vedic wisdom, tapaha mayaha, successfully having undergone all austerities, prajapitanam,
of
all the forefathers,
of
living entities,
abhivanditaha,
worshipable, patihi, master, asthaya,
successfully practiced,
yogam,
mystic powers,
nipunam,
very expert,
samahitaha,
self-realized,
tam, the Supreme Lord.
Na,
did not.
Adiyagatscham.
Properly understood.
Yataha.
From whom?
Atma.
Self.
Sambhavaha.
Generated.
Although
I am known as the great Brahma, perfect in the disciplic succession of Vedic wisdom, and although I have undergone all austerities, am an expert in mystic powers and self-realization, and although I am recognized as such by the great forefathers of the living entities who offer me respectful obeisances, still I cannot understand him, the Lord, the very source of my birth. Purport. Brahma, the greatest of all living creatures within the universe, is admitting his failure to know the Supreme Lord despite his vast learning in the Vedic wisdom, despite his austerity, penance, mystic powers and self-realization, and despite being worshipped by the great Prajapatis, the forefathers of the living entities. So these qualifications are not sufficient to know the Supreme Lord. Brahmaji could understand the Lord to a little extent only when he was trying to serve him by the eagerness of his heart. Hridokantyavatar. Where's that word from? Anybody been following? Ridyo Kantyavata. The previous verse, yes. Which is the devotional service mood, and Ridyo Kantyavata is translated as Rida means the heart. Ut Kantyavata by great earnestness. Prabhupada translates that as the eagerness of his heart. Earnestness. What's another synonym for earnestness?
Sincere.
Sincere, yeah. What else?
Eagerness.
Huh? Eagerness. Yeah, well, eagerness, he has already said eagerness of the heart. Huh? Enthusiasm, yes. Yeah. Eagerness, enthusiasm, sincerity.
Dedication.
Yeah. Inquisitive. That's not a synonym. He might have been inquisitive. But,
Examination.
No, I don't think he did do that, but that's not what's been described here. Pridokantyavata, eagerness of his heart. And previously, what did I say? Great earnestness. So sincerity, enthusiasm, dedication. Yeah, eagerness. What's another word? In Sanskrit, what is the word?
Utsaha.
From which we get the word utsav. Festival. Right? We worship the Lord with enthusiasm on the auspicious days of his appearance and other celebrations. So Prabhupada says here, this is the devotional service mood, eagerness of his heart. Therefore, okay, give away word, therefore, means this is important. The Lord can be known only by the sincere mood of eagerness for service. Right? And not by any amount of material qualification as scientist or speculative philosopher or by attainment of mystic powers. Right. So, previous, Sri Prabhupada says at the beginning of this paragraph, despite his vast learning, right, he's a pundit or a, what do we call Brahmaji? Yeah. But he's very learned, isn't he? Very learned. So Prabhupada says it despite his vast learning in the Vedic wisdom. Despite his austerity, penance. Penance and austerity, not as the same thing. Mystic powers. Brahma has mystic powers. But despite these things, and self-realization, right? He even knows who he is. And despite being worshipped by the great Prajapatis, you know, you can be worshipped by a lot of people, they say you're this, that, the other thing. But just because they say you are doesn't mean you are. Right? You can fool people into thinking you're something that you're not. And they say, yeah, you're this, that, and the other thing. You're God. That doesn't make you God. Unless you happen to be God, of course. Despite being worshipped by the great Prajapati. So these qualifications are not sufficient to know the Supreme Lord. But what is this great enthusiasm to do service? This fact is clearly corroborated in the Bhagavad Gita 1854-55. What does the word corroborated mean? supported, yeah. Confirmed. Corroborated. Interesting word, huh? Corroborated.
Established. Established. Firmly established.
Firmly established, yeah. Brahma Bhuta Prashanatma. Naso chati na kanchati. Samasaveshu bhuteshu. Mad bhaktim labhate param. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tattvataha. Tato mam tattvato gyatva vishate tad anantaram. Only self-realization by attainment of the above high qualifications of Vedic wisdom, austerity, etc., can help one on the path of devotional service. But failing in devotional service, one remains still imperfect because even in that position of self-realization, one cannot factually know the Supreme Lord. By self-realization, one is qualified to become a devotee, and the devotee, by service mood, bhaktya, only, can gradually know the personality of Godhead. One should not, however, misunderstand the import of viṣate, enters into, as referring to merging into the existence of the Supreme. Even in material existence, one is merged in the existence of the Lord. So we don't have to merge. We're already merged. Huh? Only we don't know it. No materialist can disentangle self from matter, for the self is merged in the external energy of the Lord, as no layman can separate... No materialist can disentangle self from matter, for the self is merged in the external energy of the Lord. As no layman can separate butter from milk, no one can extricate the merged self from matter by acquiring some material qualification. What does that mean? Interesting sentence. As no layman can separate butter from milk. No one can extricate the merged self from matter by acquiring some material qualification. What does that mean? That sentence. Getting butter from milk, separating. You have to know the process. If you don't know the process, then what happens? No butter. My father, when he was a boy, the family lived in a place called Gawler, which is north of South Australia, north of Adelaide, and they always had a cow. My father told me this just recently. I found out from him. Just recently, had a cow, which one of the boys, I guess, or mum, grandma, used to milk every day, twice a day. And my father used to have to separate the cream from the milk. Right? It's a device that whirls around. And it has a bell on it. And then when the bell rings at the right pace, then you know, and he said that's how grandma could tell if he was doing it properly. Right? If he didn't do it properly, if the bell wasn't ringing, then you got in trouble. And you wouldn't separate the cream from the milk. Not that they would make butter, but the cream is the best part of the milk. And from the cream, you then can make butter. Although I think that in India, it's made a different way. Different way. But there's a science. You have to know the science, that's the thing. So we have to know the science of devotional service. And aspects of learning in Vedic wisdom, austerity, penance, mystic powers, self-realization, and even recognition for these things may be beneficial. They're not, of course they can be obstacles actually in the path of one's devotional service, because what happens if you become very learned? What are the symptoms of a brahmana? What's the symptoms of a brahmana? That's the duties of a brahmana. What are the symptoms of a brahmana? Samaudamastapaso cham chattim manajiva eva cha gyanam vigyanam astikyam brahma kama svabhava jam. So, you know, learning is a quality of a brahmana. That, you know, you can become proud of your learning, as an example. You can become proud of your cleanliness. You're so bougie. We don't associate with the moochie people because they're too moochie. We don't want to be contaminated by them. Right? This is pride from being elevated. It can happen to the devotees too. We are the devotees and you are the karmis. We are better than you. Of course, we know that the devotees are better, but you know, one of the qualities of learning is what? What is a symptom of true learning? Yeah. Yep. Amanitvam, adambitvam. Yeah. Many. These are the first qualities. There's a verse in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Vidya vinaya sampane, brahmani gavi hastini. Sunichaiva svapakecha pandita samadashanaha. So, these items can be favourable, but they can also be obstacles in making progress in devotional service, because those items without the right service mood, without the right service mentality, miss that essential ingredient. Vishate tad anantaram. One wants to enter into the spiritual existence, then one has to have the service attitude first. That's the beginning. And so this is part of the science of devotional service. Humility and service attitude. So as no layman can separate butter from milk, no one can extricate the merged self from matter by requiring some material qualification. We know that within the body is the soul, but you can't see it. We know its presence by its symptoms, by the manifestation of consciousness, the manifestation of desire, the workings of the mind, the working of the senses, subtle and gross. We know that the living entity is present, merged with the body. We want to extricate the soul out of that bodily consciousness. What is it? Ahankara. Ahamkaro. I think I'm doing. Right, isn't it? That's what ahankara means. This is about, you're getting the sum total of my Hindi. Horn karo. That's another. That's why I worked out what karo means. Do. Horn do. I do. Aham karo. Right? So, we want, the living entity is absorbed in that consciousness. We're absorbed in that. I am the body. I am the doer. What's it? Vimudhatma. What? Ahankara. Vimudhatma. Foolish. Living entity thinks, I'm the doer. But it's actually being carried out by the material energy under the direction of Krishna. According to the desires and the deserts of the living entities, they're getting their desires fulfilled, and they're also getting the reactions for their inappropriate behaviors. Ultimately, for their inappropriate mentality. Mentality meaning, you know, I'm the enjoyer. Because this service mood means that we stop thinking I'm the enjoyer and we start thinking, Krishna, how can I please you? And very often that is manifest through service to the devotees. Because Krishna says, if you want to please me, please my devotees. So we need to learn the science of how to extricate the soul, that's us, out of this material entanglement, encagement, which is within the body. We're absorbed, we're merged in the body, conscious at the moment, in that way merged in the Lord's energy, but we want to become merged with the spiritual energy. And we do that by becoming a servant, by having cultivating our service attitude, our mood of servitorship. That doesn't mean losing one's identity. So Prabhupada makes this point. Bhakti, this vishate by devotion, bhaktya, means to be able to participate in the association of the Lord in person. So because as soon as we engage in devotional service, we're engaging in the activities not of the material world, but the activities of the spiritual world. So when, you know, Mathura Manaha looks like he's carrying the jugs and the pots, you know, in Melbourne, Albert Park. But actually he's not. That's why Prabhupada said, this is not Melbourne, this is Vrindavan. Because the activities of Vrindavan are being performed here. Krishna is appearing very kindly in the form of the deity to allow us that opportunity to render service. And then that service is not of the material world. It looks like it's in the material world. In one sense it is. But it is taking the material ingredients which ordinarily are being used for this ahamkaro, you know, enjoyment of the material creation, and instead of using them for those purposes, using them to please Krishna. This is the technology of devotional service. Right? We're using the same ingredients, which make us, you know, attached or connected to, or what's the word, absorbed in the material energy. We take the same ingredients and we, instead of becoming attached or absorbed or merged with the material energy, we take it and we use it, engage it in Krishna's service. This is why, you know, we can test a devotee's advancement by their enthusiasm or their dedication to doing service. Jamma Karma, no, it was in the Nectar of Devotion, what's that? Bhaktya. Oh, I've forgotten that. The definition of pure devotional service. Anyabhilashita shunyam. So it's activity. Anyabhilashita shunyam. Jnana kamajana vritam. Not covered by desires for material profit and learning. Jnana kamya kamya anuvritam. Jnana and karma anuvritam. Not covered by. So, you know, very sincere service with a desire to please the devotees, or a desire to please the spiritual master, or a desire to please Krishna. They're all synonymous. This is why we ask the devotee, how, you know, first question should be, how can I serve you? You know, these days, devotees write to you on Facebook. You know, the first thing they say, Prabhu, they say, Prabhu, who is your spiritual master? I think, what the hell? What's going on here? Who cares? What's that got to do with anything? As if, you know, somehow or another, you'll be graded in devotional service by who your guru is. And it doesn't make sense, does it? I get that quite often. In the last week, I've had people ask me that. Of course, they had reasons. But even still, you know, would it matter? Does it matter? No, it doesn't really matter. The important thing is that you receive that earnestness, that eagerness to engage in devotional service. And actually, in one sense, it doesn't matter who your guru is. You can pick that up from any sincere devotee. Right? And they're your guru in that regard. And that's what you should do. That's the mood that we should invite. Certainly you should get it from your spiritual master. Your initiating spiritual master. That's the whole idea. But actually it's something you can get from anybody. It's a gift that can be given by, you know, even sometimes people who aren't engaged in devotional service can give you good advice. Like, take the Chanakya's statement. What is it? You can take gold from a filthy place, isn't it? You can take a wife from a qualified wife, and we can assume also a qualified husband, from a lower caste. And you can take advice, good advice, from a fool. Because, you know, the substance of the substance is solid, is real. So you can accept it. And that's what Krishna is looking for. Within our devotional service, he's looking for the substance, for the, you know, the core sincerity of the devotee. Even if there's faults. We were discussing this other, Braj Krishna was saying the other day. Even a devotee may have faults. Still, Krishna accepts the service. He's adosha dashi, explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna doesn't see the faults. He looks gunagrahi. He looks at the good, the devotional service. So that's what we should be looking for in a devotee. How sincere is this? What does Haridas Thakur in the Harinam Chintamani, what does Haridas Thakur say we should look for in the character of a devotee? In order to determine whether they're surrendered to Krishna. And how does that manifest? Yeah, but no, he specifically makes a statement.
Devotional service.
Which part? No, yes, but how? How do we determine the service attitude of a devotee? Yeah, but that's not what Haridas Thakur says. What does he say? Is it? No. You have to know or you don't know. Just say, I don't know. He says, by looking at how much they're attached to chanting Hare Krishna. Right? See if they're attached to chanting Hare Krishna. Because if they're attached to chanting Hare Krishna, what's going to happen? What will happen if you chant Hare Krishna? You'll do service. Or you'll get service. Hey Prabhu, what are you doing? Stop chanting, go and do something. Something very interesting, actually. Some interesting exchanges. But there's a discussion about dress code. You know, it's a bit of a thing in America, might I say. Not so much of a problem here. Aussie devotees are generally pretty unmental about stuff. Prabhupada liked that. You know, at the Trobe University preaching program, it was winter time and there were puddles. And when Prabhupada came, the devotees just paid their obeisances into puddles. Prabhupada acknowledged their sincerity. Perhaps not their intelligence, but their sincerity. So there's a bit of a debate, you know, what's Vaishnava attire? And Malati tells the story of how she was cooking at a pandal or some program, but the kitchen had 2 inches of water in it on the floor. And she was cooking in the traditional Indian style with one of those knives that come up like a hook. You seen them? What do they call it? Huh? You know what I'm talking about, Sukadev? Yeah. So she's cutting the sabji on the floor, like they do. And because there was water on the floor, then her petticoat and her sari always was wet. So it was always sticking to her ankles. Right? So one day she was in the bazaar and she noticed some kind of like those Rajasthani skirts. You know, like they have the mirrors in them. Right? So she thought, I'll get some of those because then I can wear that in the kitchen and, you know, my petticoat, my sari won't get wet. And then she was thinking, when I serve the prasad and the Prabhupada, then I'll put on my sari and my petticoat. It's more convenient. So anyway, what happened? Prabhupada, the next day, while she was wearing a skirt, happened to come into the kitchen. And she said, you know, the look that Prabhupada gave her, she said, if it was possible to drown in 2 inches of water, then I would have. So anyway, she said, then I ecstatically went back to, you know, wet petticoat and sari wrapped around my ankles. So, you know, in that conversation, another story I think that she told, or one of the devotees told, was that, oh, no, Badri Narayan told the story of how the devotees at San Diego were preparing the temple for Prabhupada's arrival, right? And they were told that Prabhupada was coming early, a few days early. So they're frantically trying to get everything organized. And what they were doing, they were just throwing all the rubbish out in the backyard. And they thought, when Prabhupada comes, then we'll clean up. So anyway, as it turned out, when Prabhupada came, was it one of the devotees had put the... Somehow there was the Maha Mantra on the doorstep. And Prabhupada said, I'm not going to step over the Maha Mantra. I'm going to go around. So he said, what about the back door? So he went around the back door. So what did he see? All the rubbish. And Prabhupada saw the rubbish and he said, you know, words to the effect of clean, then chant. Right? Clean first, then chant. Because the devotees were thinking, yeah, we'll do this later. But Prabhupada didn't like that. In fact, even today in the temple in Mayapur, they clean everything in the morning program. So, anyway. if we chant Hare Krishna, then automatically we'll engage in service if we're chanting properly. But we had one time when I joined up, maybe 78, 79, 80, when Bhavananda used to come, there were three devotees who came to the temple. And we used to call them the three gunas: Sattva-gun, Tamagun, and Rajagun. Bhavananda gave them these nicknames. And one of them, they used to come and debate. They used to come and argue. You know, they have a lot of discussion and a lot of entertainment for the devotees, actually, because they have silly arguments, and Bhavananda used to defeat them all the time. But one of them came and he stayed in the temple for a week, and he wanted to prove to us that if you chanted 16 rounds a day, then you wouldn't become a devotee. So he used to come and chant his rounds with the devotees. And actually, he was a friend of the devotees, but you know, he was determined, you know, I'm going to prove that you don't become a devotee if you chant 16 rounds. But of course, he stopped chanting 16 rounds and went away. But if you chant, if a person chants and they're chanting sincerely, as most devotees do, what we do, then you'll engage in service. That's the end result. You know, if we're unenthusiastic about doing service despite chanting Hare Krishna, then there's something wrong, isn't it? We must be chanting with some sort of offence. That's what... So, bhakti, so we can measure a person's, and we know this, you know, those who engage in the process of devotional service, apichet sudaracharo bhajate mamananyabhak, they may do some durachar, right, some mistakes, but because they're focused is to engage in devotional service, then they're on the path of perfection. You know, sometimes devotees have arguments with each other. And I haven't noticed it so much in Melbourne. I have noticed it other places. And then they say, I'm not going to associate with that devotee. He's never going to change. He's a liar. He's a this, he's a that. I'm more advanced. I'm not going to associate with him. Which is a bit foolish, really, because it doesn't acknowledge the fact he's a devotee. And he's chanting Hare Krishna. And if he engages in the process of devotional service, then according to Krishna and Srila Prabhupada, he'll become a devotee. He has to become a devotee, so why not associate with him? Okay, made a mistake, then forgive him. Right? What is it? Forgive and forget. No, forgive, but don't... I suggest forgive, but don't forget. You know, we know what people are like, and so therefore we should give some... You know, we have to take into consideration a person's shortcomings, but... if they're engaged in devotional service and they're chanting Hare Krishna, then we can know for sure that in due course of time, this person is going to become a pure devotee. The process is... Otherwise, if they don't, what does that mean? What does it mean? Well, maybe. Or the process doesn't work. Right? But the process does work if you apply it properly, of course. But even if you keep applying, and even if you apply it improperly, eventually it'll work. Because, you know, Krishna's he's much more intelligent than we are. And he knows how to arrange things in such a way so that we'll learn how to engage in devotional service properly. Or we'll be so unhappy, you know, it'll eventually occur to us, I don't think I'm doing things right. I need to change what I'm doing so that I get the result of devotional service. So, chanting Hare Krishna, rendering service, that ensures that the mentality of the devotee will change. And so, you know, this whole idea of enjoying and me the doer changes to Krishna's the enjoyer, and the activities are meant to be done for his pleasure. And when our mentality changes to that attitude or that mood, then the environment in which we live ceases to be the material world and it begins to be the spiritual world, the spiritual atmosphere, the spiritual environment. So that's what happens, you know, when you come into the temple, then, you know, you walk in through the front gate and you immediately feel the atmosphere changes, because the environment here is the devotees are all pleasing Radha Ballabha or pleasing Prabhupada or working to help each other. There's a very different mood, and that's noticeable when you just drive in the back gate. I remember when we used to go on Sankirtan, and you'd be out fighting all day with the, battling it out with the karmis all day, right? Still like that. We all still battling it out with the karmis. But then when you drive in the back gate, and you think, oh, wow, home again. Back in the spiritual world. And then, you know, especially hard day of Sankirtan, you haven't had something to eat, look, whip into the cool room to see if there's any Mahaprasadam left over. I don't know if devotees do that now. No. Go up to the Prasadam hall. No. I remember one day I was out on Sankirtan and came back really super hungry. I thought, yeah, let's go and have a look and see what's in the cool room. And I saw there was all these chapatis and puris and stuff. You know, I thought, great, fantastic. Blah, blah, blah. Hari Bol Prabhu, it's a codicil. So this vishate, by devotion, bhaktya, means to be able to participate in the association of the Lord in person. You know, when we perfect that mood or mentality, then we can actually get to associate with the Lord through his service. Bhakti, or devotional service of the Lord, means to become free from material entanglement and then to enter into the kingdom of God, becoming one like him. That's what we're doing. Losing one's individuality is not the aim of bhakti yoga or of the devotees of the Lord. There are five types of liberation, one of which is called sayuja mukti, or being merged in the existence or body of the Lord. The other forms of liberation maintain the individuality of the particle, soul, and involve being always engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. That's what we want. The word vishate used in the verses of the Bhagavad Gita is thus meant for the devotees who are not at all anxious for any kind of liberation. You know, really pure devotee doesn't even mind if he's born again in the material world. Huh? Doesn't even look for liberation. Says, Krishna, if you want me to do service again in the material world, okay by me. I'll be happy to do that. Because it's quite advanced, very advanced. The word vishate used in the verses of the Bhagavad Gita is thus meant for the devotees who are not at all anxious for any kind of liberation. The devotees are satisfied simply in being engaged in the service of the Lord regardless of the situation. Pretty amazing, huh? So when the opportunity turns up to wash the pots, ah, jai, Hari Bol. Or whatever, clean the courtyard. Lord Brahma is the first living being who directly learned the Vedic wisdom from the Lord. Tene Brahma Hridaya ya adi kavaye. Therefore, who can be a more learned Vedantist than Lord Brahma? Who can be a more learned Vedantist than Lord Brahma? The Lord himself. Okay. He admits that in spite of his perfect knowledge in the Vedas, he was unable to know the glories of the Lord. Since no one can be more than Lord Brahma, how can a so-called Vedantist be perfectly cognizant of the absolute truth? The so-called Vedantist therefore cannot enter into the existence of the Lord without being trained in the matter of Bhakti Vedanta. Right? This is the end of all knowledge, is to come to Bhakti. Or Vedanta plus Bhakti. Vedanta means self-realization, and Bhakti means realization of the personality of Godhead to some extent. Right? Because, you know, it's not possible. Even Krishna has difficulty understanding his own glories. Right? Because they're unlimited. So when he understands them, then they've expanded some more. So there's always this competition. But we can know a little bit about Krishna. Something. Right? And that means we know him. But at least, no one can know the personality of Godhead in full, but at least, to a certain extent, one can know the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, by self-surrender and a devotional attitude and by nothing else. Ooh. This is quite a strong purport, huh? Starts off with the first, therefore. The Lord can be known only by the sincere mood of eagerness for service, and not by any amount of material qualification. Then Prabhupada says here, by self-surrender and a devotional attitude, by nothing else. So what's self-surrender? What does that mean? Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah. Do what Krishna wants. Or the devotees. That's harder, because we can speculate what Krishna wants. But the devotees tell us, do this. Don't do it like that. Do it like this. That's why we have a spiritual master. Yeah, Bali Maharaj is the exemplar. His guru told him, don't surrender to Krishna. Huh? And ordinarily, this principle of serving the guru is like, it's unviable. You don't violate that principle at all, isn't it? Yajya prasadat bhagavat prasada, yajya prasadat nagati katopi. Unless the guru tells you not to surrender to Krishna, then you ignore him, because he's not your guru anymore. Right? This is why, you know, this point about taking advice from a fool is appropriate, because, you know, if a very, very learned person gives you stupid advice, you have to ignore it. So self-surrender means surrender to Krishna. That's why we studied the Bhagavad Gita. Why we studied the Bhagavatam. I think that's what Prabhupada says here. Right? Let's read on. In the Brahma Samhita also, it is said, Vedeshu Dullabham. Or, simply by study of Vedanta, one can hardly find out the existence of the personality of Godhead. Ooh, that's amazing, isn't it? Prabhupada's saying here, study the Vedanta, and you can hardly find out the existence of the Lord. But the Lord is Adullabham Atma Bhakto. Easily achievable for the devotee. Very easily available to his devotee. Srila Vyasadeva, therefore, was not satisfied simply by with compiling the Vedanta Sutras. But over and above this, by the advice of his spiritual master Narada, he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam in order to understand the real import of Vedanta. Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, is the absolute medium by which to understand the absolute truth. Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us, these stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam teach us what? What does the story of Bali Maharaj teach us?
Surrender.
What is the example? Go to the topmost example. What does the example of the gopis teach us? Yeah, unconditional service. They had to give up their husbands. They had to give up their families. They gave up their children. Not they had to. They voluntarily gave up everything. Their reputations even. Right? When Krishna played his flute, they were ready to go to Krishna. So a very interesting point here. Self-surrender. There are six items of surrender that are recommended by Rupa Goswami. Right? Accepting that which is favourable, rejecting that which is unfavourable. What is it? Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. Accepting that which is favourable, rejecting that which is unfavourable. If you want to see an expansion of those principles, those six principles, look in the nectar of instruction. Practically speaking, the nectar of instruction. If you have any problems in devotional service, the nectar of instruction, if you follow those principles, you remove the difficulties. But there's an expansion of the principles of surrender there. Accepting that which is favourable, rejecting that which is favourable, depending upon the Lord, expecting His protection, rakshishyatiti visvaso. I can't remember the rest of the Sanskrit. That's right. Koptritvai varanam tata. Being, and humility is one of the items of surrender. Karpanye. Being humble. And again, self-surrendered. So, self-surrender and devotional attitude. And as mentioned previously, service attitude. Devotional attitude means service attitude. Desire to do service. That's how we can tell how advanced a devotee is. We ask them to do some service. Oh no, Prabhu, I'm too tired. My mind hurts. But generally speaking, if a devotee is chanting, they're enthusiastic to do service. They'll engage themselves in service. You don't have to go and give them service because they'll already just they'll be doing it, isn't it? If you have to engage them in service, that means maybe some. So my point, you know, the first question that we should be asking the devotees is, how can I serve you? Isn't it? The first question we should be asking the spiritual master, Prabhupada said this, how can I serve you? What do you want me to do? And that is a range of things, of course. Working cooperatively, one of the biggest tasks that we've been given is to work cooperatively together in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And that means, you know, doing all of the things, cleaning, cooking, worshipping, sankirtan, especially sankirtan, with the aim of getting everybody engaged in devotional service. That's our mission, if you like. And so that means so many, such a variety of services. If we're, and that changes also according to Varna and Ashram, right? Practically speaking. If we're householders, our service may be also going to work. That's still classified as devotional service when the results are then offered to Krishna. Right? Still considered devotional service. The bhakti cult is very magnanimous in that practically all of us can be engaged one way or another. in this service. And that's our dharma. You know, when you look at the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're taught, you know, that service is our natural constitutional position. Either we're serving the material energy or we're serving Krishna. In any case, we're servants, as Prabhupada says in the purport. At the moment, we're assuming we're not so devotionally inclined, we're absorbed in material consciousness. So that way we're merged in Krishna's energy. But we want to become merged in the Krishna's spiritual energy. And we do that by rendering devotional service. So we need to learn that art of surrender and devotion if we want to know the absolute truth. Hands up here, who doesn't want to know the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead? Raise your hands. Right, okay. So this is for you. This message is for you, for us, should I say. Does anybody have any comments or questions? We've read the whole purport. So. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Realizations from their service? Yes. Yeah, that's what I was alluding to, yes. Yep. We shouldn't become like that. Pride comes before a fall. We should even dream about devotional service, shouldn't we? If we're dreaming about devotional service, that means we're making some progress. I was dreaming that I was in Mayapur and I was the first presenter at the ISKCON Leadership Sangha. And somehow we'd just flown in and I didn't have any preparation. I had somebody else's computer and the presentation wasn't even mine. In total anxiety. Then the hall, the auditorium that we're in shifted. The screen was very confusing. And when I woke up, I felt good because at least I was dreaming that I was in Mayapur and I was with the devotees and I was doing some service. Dream got a little bit weird at the end because some photographers came along and then they looked at my legs and they said, "Oh, they're beautiful legs," and they wanted to photo them. So it got a little odd just before I woke up. But at least in Mayapur it's okay. But that's how we should, you know, that is the natural quality of a devotee, isn't it? That they want to do service. They like to cook an offering. They like to clean the temple. They like to make a garland. They like, just like it's not every day you see the ladies coming and they're all making garlands for Radha Ballabha. Something practical we need to do. Then Krishna says, you know, I give them the knowledge by which they can come to me. To those who engage in devotional service, I give them the understanding. You know, when we go out and chant Hare Krishna on the streets, Krishna engages those people in devotional activities unknowingly. And then as they hear that, sound vibration, then Krishna starts giving them the intelligence. They know, I should surrender. That's why they don't like it. People get upset. You know, they hear the chanting of Hare Krishna. And they get upset. Oh, no. Because we're reminding them, you should surrender to Krishna. Right? And they don't want to. We don't want to be reminded. Prabhupada gives the example of a person who's sleeping and they don't want to be woken up. Even though they actually are awake, but they go away, leave me alone. Okay, anything? Anyone? Yes?
Prabhupada, this is not about the Bhagavatam.
Not about the Bhagavatam.
In Dwapa, Dwa means two and Treta means three. So why did Treta come second and Dwapa Yuga came third?
He said, what's your name?
Gopal.
Gopal said, this is not a question about the Bhagavatam. So he gets a bit of a frown from me for that, but anyway. But it is related to the Bhagavatam. Different section. Dwapara, dwa means two, and treta means three. Right? Yeah. So why does treta come second and Dwapara come third? Well, if you count backwards, right? If you count backwards, they're okay.
But then Satyayuga is Satya means
truth, not one. That much Sanskrit I know. There is a reason, isn't there? Yeah, we're counting backwards in this case. Kali means one. Dwapara means two. Treta means three. Satya means four. This is Sanskrit counting backwards. That could be the only explanation, I think. That's right, actually. If you look at the duration, yeah, Kali is the shortest, Dwapara is the next longest, Treta is the next longest, Satya is the longest. So count backwards, not forwards. And that's indicated by the numbers, isn't it? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, three times. There you go. Say that again. How many years in Kali Yuga, Gopal?
100.
Which version of the Bhagavatam are you looking at? 432,000 years. Right? Dwapara, which is double, is 864. Is that right? And then three times is Treta? Or is that double? Double. Oh, doesn't work. The rule is different. Anyway, forget that idea. That's called speculation. Yeah, look, I don't know the answer to that question, to be honest. But if you read Prabhupada's books, you'll find it. These are called details. Not very important in one sense. More important is to study the science of surrender. Then it doesn't really matter how long or what order the yugas come in. Right?
Prabhu, yeah. I just heard a story relating to that from one of the devotees. What they say is that this happened in the episode of Ramayana when Ahalya was cursed.
Who?
Ahalya.
Ahalya.
The wife. Ahalya. Then the benediction is that, you know, that the Lord will come and, you know, bestow the mercy and three for a long period of time.
Yeah.
So Gautam Muni said, fine. So the Treta will come first, because Ram will come and liberate, and then Krishna will come. So because Gautam Muni, he said that, and the Lord was there, that's what this
Give was. Him the details. He's the one. He wants to know. Yeah. There is an explanation somewhere, actually. I can't remember where it is. I remember reading it, but I've forgotten the details. All right. Who's going to the Vyasa Puja celebration today?
Everyone.
I hope there's room. You're going? With your dad, huh? Very good. Okay, Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Bhinda ki jai.